Hello, ladies. So once again, I am back here on the Healing Into Femininity podcast, and I want to jump right in. Okay. So today, I want to talk to you about childhood trauma and not having the right male roles, like role models, not having the right systems on how to be and how to vet a partner. So I always like to bring it back to my own story. And I just kind of recently really, really understood what was going on. Like, I have been a transformational life coach for almost 6 years now, certified. And of course, I had to work through my own stuff as well. So that's always part of it. No matter what profession you start, you first have to, dive deeper into yourself, right? So my story is definitely a story marked by low self-esteem. Having low self-esteem in the area of relationships. And I always like to say that this is the area where you can really see how healthy a person is. Because in today's society, we have learned, or we have been conditioned, to look at someone's personal success, like someone's individual success in their career, for example. But I would say that being successful in your career is not really the most outstanding part of success. Yeah, I would say, like, being successful in your career, like a psychopath can be successful in his or her career. You know, like, very toxic people can actually be very good in their career, depending on how you define career success, right? So I believe that in the Western culture, that we have been conditioned to look at individual success a lot, and making a lot of money and then living a certain kind of lifestyle. That's success. Yes, it can be. It can be part of success, absolutely. And especially if it's like, if you are internally happy with what you're doing, and also creating tangible results. I'm a huge fan of not either or, but both and. I see it again and again. Like, I still do, like, have friends or colleagues or people that I know who are more on the, like, the spiritual justice side, kind of. And they pretend, for me, it's a pretending. Like, they pretend that all they need is love. No. It's not all you need. It's very important to have love. It's so essential, fundamental. Like, it's the core and of everything. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Love is so important. It is the source of life. Like, it literally is essential. It is fundamental. Without love, there is no life. So that's very important, because we are love, and we are looking for love. So that's not the question here. Like, that's the standpoint that I come from. It's about soul. It's about reclaiming your spirit. That's part of my work. And at the same time, it's like bouncing off. It's the soul, and then it's about creating reality. It's creating life in this 3D reality that we're in. We are living in a material universe. So whoever is saying that material things are not important, those people live in denial. Let's be real. Like, they live in denial. I don't want to be part of that. So if a guy talks to me about only love, bye. Boy, bye. Boy, bye. I gotta eat. I gotta eat. I gotta have food, clothing, and shelter. And I also want to live my life. So I'm not talking about a super commercial consumption-based life, but I need things. I want things. Of course, we all do. Like, we all do. Yeah. So it's not either or, but it's a both and. And I want to say that Yeah, I have been looking for love. I have been looking for my self-love for, all these years. I'm 34 now. And as I said, I have been always quite connected to myself. I have always had a level of self-love. And especially when it began, like when the whole topic with men began, like meeting men, being curious, like in puberty, and when you become a sexual being, right? I was curious, and I think that's also a part of our soul's desire. We want to be desired, we want to be seen, we want to be heard, and not only in a shallow way, or not only in a, let's say, in an intellectual way, or in a shallow way, maybe even. But as women, of course, we want to be seen as sexual beings as well. That's another thing that I want to kind of break down, because sometimes it gets on my nerves when men try to be overly polite and overly politically correct or overly respectful. Of course, I want a man to be respectful, but if I like a guy and if I consider him, if I think that he's attractive beyond just being friends, I want him to also see me beyond just me being a smart woman. Yeah, I want him to see me beyond like my academic achievements, beyond my professional achievement, beyond my maybe social achievements or whatever. I want this man to see me for my sexuality as well. Like, who feels me? Who feels me on that? Yeah, I want the man to see me as the whole being that I am. And also as a sexual being. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, with that being said, when I grew up, of course, this part of me got activated. I got to know boys, and then the story goes as follows. So my relationships with men have been very toxic, to be honest. Today I can't talk about it. But it was at one point, it was shocking to me because my self-image has always been that I kind of thought that I was a woman who valued herself, but I didn't actually, to be very honest. So my first relationship, or the guy like who took my virginity, I didn't even tell him that I was a virgin. That's how numb and disconnected I was from my heart and my body and my feelings and my vulnerability. Like, I was so disconnected. I tried to override it with being cool, with being a gangster, with being so in the like hip hop culture, cold kind of gangster, predatory. Like, today, having studied like psychology and evolutionary history and nature, we call it predatory. Like, someone who comes to just gets their own needs met, and then bah, like no compassion, no higher levels of human evolution, just the animal instincts. Yeah, so that's what I feel has been promoted in hip hop for the longest. Yeah, so for the longest, of course, yes, for everybody who listens to hip hop has come out of a more conscious movement, but yeah, for a long time it has been very sexual and very predatory, like this whole gangster thing and blah. Okay, so I have been heavily influenced by that on top of my own personal life experiences. So my parents got divorced, and my dad was also not really a loving guy. Like I said, this topic is going to be about it's going to be about relationships, and that we don't have male figures that we can look up to in order to vet the man that we want to be with when we are on our healing journey. Yeah, so this the prerequisite is that you are on your healing journey. And when you have come to the point where you feel like you have actually really healed, and you have come to the desire within yourself that you want to be with a healed, healthy partner as well, and what to look for in a man for that, which is very important that women, we're not looking for the same thing in a man that we bring. That's a very important one. But I want to continue to share my story here that I got into this first relationship, if we want to call it that, the guy who took my virginity. I was at the point, I was so numb, I was so disconnected from my body, so disconnected from my feelings. I didn't even admit to myself that I wanted to be loved, that I wanted to be desired, that I wanted to be committed to, that I wanted to be provided for and protected and actually to build a friendship and a relationship. Today, I wouldn't recommend any girl in her teens, because I was 16. It was 1 week before my 16th birthday. And today, I wouldn't recommend it to my daughter or to my sisters or anybody that I love. I wouldn't recommend to any girl in that age to get sexually active, but that's my life and I stand by it. So this was the first story. Then there was a second story. This was like basically my first boyfriend relationship. This guy actually ended up hitting me. So it got abusive. I also later on realized that he had cheated on me. And then he hit me. Then he was like all kinds of toxic, like it was just crazy. But I don't want to go too deep into it. But that's what happened as well. Like that's how deep I sunk. Or this is where I began to start with. Like I was like, it was kind of like a double life in my school and in my social surroundings. I was the good girl. And that is the trick here. The good girls get this treatment many times. So I thought I was this good girl. During those years, I also went to church and I was interested in God. I was interested in God. Even today, like my work is deeply spiritual. So I was interested in God. I wanted to find out how I can live my life the best way possible. And then I also, as I said, got activated. Like that's what happens in youth. Yeah. So you become sexually activated. I like my virginity got taken away from me, or however I am supposed to phrase it. I gave my virginity away without any emotional connection. Then I got into this abusive relationship where my boyfriend ended up hitting me, and it was all kinds of messy and toxic. And then it all led to, this one relationship with my boyfriend. Back then, I was already like when I studied. I got pregnant and I ended up having an abortion. Yes, so these were like my three pivotal relationships. That was the beginning. How bad? Yeah. So, and after the abortion, I haven't really reflected on what the root cause of all of this was. Like that's almost 10 years or exactly 10 years ago around this time. And I continued to focus back on myself until I met this one guy. And then he reflected to me that I was so needy. Like we got into this affair. That was the time when I had finished my studies. And I thought I'm on top of the world. I'm amazing. I'm this great woman. I have finished my university. I got my degree. I got this job. I had my car. I was living with my best friend. I was in top shape. I was looking good and sexy and feeling confident. But still, I hadn't figured out the root cause of the issue, why I got into these very toxic relationships with men. And then I try to convince myself, and this is what we do, like just giving you a little awareness tip here. Like our deepest desires as human beings, as I said in the beginning, we're all looking for love. We're all looking for love. We are love and we want love. We want to give love and we want to receive love. But what we are most afraid of is a result of, of our human evolution. But also a result of maybe experiences of rejection. So, as I said, I want to talk about childhood trauma because at the end of the day, it is also reinforced like this human condition that we already have. And by human condition, I mean that we, even if nothing bad, quote unquote, happened to us in our childhood, we are still the offsprings of our forefathers and mothers. And in the human conditioning, in the whole evolutionary phases of our DNA, someone experienced loss. We experienced rejection, and we have it in our biological DNA makeup. So we know how it feels, and it's somehow subconsciously programmed into us. So the deepest fears that we have as human beings is number one, being fundamentally flawed. Number two, being rejected or abandoned. Number three, the burden of success. And number four, outshining people. All of those things have to do with not being loved, not being provided for, and therefore not protecting and not surviving and then dying, like getting cast out of the tribe, and then as a result of that, having to die. Just very primal, basic fears that are deeply ingrained in us because we have come out of this evolution. Like we have been hunters and gatherers, or we have lived closely with nature, just to make that very short. So these four fears are ingrained in all of us. And then depending on our childhood conditioning, one of them or all of them, they get on top of that, they're already inside us. They get like deeply imprinted in us. So for me, it was like the second one, the fear of abandonment and rejection. So my parents left me. I always like to call say that story. My parents left me and my brother in Ghana when I was three, and they came back only 2.5 years later. So imagine for a child of three, not being like there was no communication, there was no goodbye. Not being with your mom and your dad for such a long time. So it was deeply ingrained in us. And then my life continued to be more of a story of loss. So my parents divorced when I was 10, and there wasn't too much attention and love. My mom was always working, my dad was always working. And my dad, like when he was around, it was more of a fear-based relationship. It wasn't love because I was always afraid. My dad also used to hit us every now and then. And so that was my childhood. So that was basically it. And it's not, I'm not saying what I'm saying to make anybody look bad, but I just want to tell the story because I think that many people in my generation still can relate, especially from immigrant parents or maybe African parents or maybe even other parents. But this was my upbringing. So I had this huge fear of actually speaking up for myself, for my needs, for my vulnerabilities, for my desires. Like that's what I desire, to be soft. To be soft. Like currently, this whole conversation about soft era, soft girl era is going on. And it's of course, it's a deep desire of a woman to feel that, to be soft, to be vulnerable, to allow love. That's basically what it is, to say, like, I am love. I want to be loved. I want to give love. And this is who I am. Like, that's who I am. I want to be seen. Like, this is me. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And then being able to take the rejection of somebody not wanting what you have to offer, or somebody not being able to provide what you want, and all of that. So just to go a little bit along the lines of a good conversation or a good talk. Yeah, so this was my imprint. This was my imprint, my early years. And then, yeah, like my parents divorced, then there was like my stepfather coming in, and so many things. But I never, and especially because my mom, she wasn't really a emotional woman. Like, she didn't talk to us about our emotions. She didn't talk to us about how we felt. So we were alone with our emotions, and we had to figure everything out by ourselves. And then if your mom is not even your safe place, and then you don't cultivate safe space with your friends, then you try to, yeah, you don't know how to do it with some random guy that you feel like this primal sexual instinct that you want to connect, but not being able to connect on a psychological, emotional level just caused so many more damages within me. So these were the three men, like my virginity guy, then like this abusive relationship, and then I had the abortion. And then every time I kind of failed in relationships, I hyper-focused on achievement. I hyper-focused on school, or I hyper-focused on my career, or I hyper-focused on other things requiring my performance in order to, yeah, like follow a pre-designed structure and system that I actually knew the rules of. Because for relationships, this is just what I learned later through my life coaching certification, and then diving deeper into healing, into communication, into relationships, into everything that comes together in forming human relationships. And I focus on my career path, but not looking at the deeper root cause of what's going on. So I got entangled with this guy while I had my first corporate job. And he actually, like, he mirrored it back to me. He was like, "You're so needy." This was a punch in the face because, as I said, I, up until that point, I kind of thought about myself as a high value woman, how we call it today. I thought of myself as a good woman. I thought of myself as wifey material. I thought of myself that I'm doing all the things that are necessary in order to be appreciated and to be valued as a woman. Little did I know, we had to become savages. Yes. Yeah. So that was like literally like the nice girl syndrome. Even though, and that's why I'm saying that, I think it's so funny, even though I had this savage part within me, because I am a gangster. Yeah, I grew up around this music and this narrative and all of that. So I always kind of thought people might behave different around me just because I knew that I was a nice girl. I hope you get my drift. But it didn't. No, it didn't turn out that people respected me just for being a doormat, like, and literally having no standards. I heard one teaching yesterday, and the woman said, when people cross your boundaries, you probably have none. You just later on realize that you feel bad because you gave away too much. And that was literally me. I didn't have any boundaries. I didn't have a philosophy. I didn't have a guideline. I didn't have my own rules. I didn't have standards, let alone high standards. My only standard kind of was really like beauty, and like not beauty in a sense of like beauty, but yeah, but this predatory kind of look. Yeah, that's what I call the bad boy look, how we in our culture, but also in a very like primal and very evolutionary way, women tend to like tall men, athletic men, men who look like they can protect you, but not knowing the deeper reasons for a man looking like that. So it's just the look, it's just the shallowness of what it actually means on a deeper level. That's what I was looking for. And I have to say that all the men that I dated and yeah, and entangled with, they were like top level, handsome, yeah, like attractive, athletic, tall, or also short, but very athletic, successful in some sense in that phase of our life. So I thought that was the kind of yes system that I went by in order to vet a man, like, can he be my guy? Little did I know, little did I know. Poor me. So I'm telling all of that to teach the next generation of good women that you have to become ruthless in your boundaries. So this one guy, he told me, you're so needy. And it was a slap in the face. And I was devastated. I was devastated. And at that point, I already decided to quit my corporate job and to go and find my purpose. I already knew I wasn't happy in the corporate job because I knew that there was more for me to do, but I didn't really know what it was. And then, like, also this other relationship failure. And then I really set out to find myself, heal myself, find my purpose. And I jumped in head over and I trusted God and I risked everything. And I just said, like, I'm going to go find my purpose and find my healing. So I became a nutritionist. And then after that, I became a life coach. And then again, I already started healing. I started healing physically through the nutrition thing, and then also started healing more emotionally and spiritually. And then I've met my fiance. So while I was on that transformational journey, I met this guy, and he has already, like, he was tall, he was handsome, he was athletic, but he already was a nicer guy. Definitely. He definitely was a nicer guy. He was emotionally available. He wanted me. He could communicate. Like, we had a good base, like, really not bashing this guy at all. I actually have a lot of appreciation for him. But what was still missing, so how, if I can say it like that, I wasn't deeply connected with my deeper desires. I had those desires, but I was still in this reforming process. I was detaching from the more macho guys, yeah. And then I got with this guy. He was nice and he was softer, and he was also on his spiritual journey, and he was also on his transformational journey. But what was missing that was that he wasn't a provider. He wasn't the macho guy. Like, he didn't work like that. He did work, but he didn't work so we could actually live off of it. This was a 50-50 relationship. And I've heard that many times now, also with other women. Like, if you start healing, most of the time, the first sign of you healing from that very toxic, and I just shared with you what was my beginning, that very toxic relationship beginning, I healed into this 50-50 friendship kind of relationship. But that's not where the juice is. That's not what the feminine really wants. Like, I want to be desired. I want to be desired, as I said in the beginning. And that's why I believe that I fell for these very doggish, predator, savage, animal-like men, because I have that part inside of me too. I want to be desired. I want to be like sexually desired. Yeah. And I believe every woman wants that, definitely. Yeah. But I also want to be respected. I also want to be respected. I want to build this relationship on a healthy foundation. And this is what I learned later on. So it's really building from the ground up. and building from the ground up. That was what was lacking. And later on, to be very honest, just recently, kind of, I uncovered my womb wounds. Yeah, what, like, womb wounds is the definition of the wounds, like generational curses, if you so want. Generational curses in terms of, like, I retraced the history of my mother, and then her mother, and then her mother, and yeah, just checking in a little bit as far as I could. What kind of choices did the lineage of my mother make when it came to men? Yeah, so I can say quite poor choices. Yeah, it doesn't, like, we don't have to decode like the whole circumstances and blah, 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 blah. But I just realized, okay, like, I had inherited my mother's self-worth and also her ability to vet a man. And because it didn't look too good on my mother's side in terms of vetting a leader, a provider, a protector, a good, healthy man, an alpha man, if you so will. Yeah, a man who is able and willing to provide and also has values. I didn't experience that in my life. I didn't. And so I discovered, okay, I didn't have any role model for this. And it was a long journey until I found that. And I did, luckily, I did some more inner work to heal myself, but also on the outside again. So after my fiance, like, we separated exactly because of that reason, because I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel provided for. I didn't feel protected. He didn't have like a strong financial foundation, and like, it got too mixed up. Like, he already had kids, and then he ended up moving back in with his baby mama and the kids, and I went back out on my own and made some more mistakes. Oh, damn, this is the confession, like, I have been wanting to release, probably. So I made some more mistakes, like really falling deep, really literally falling so deep in my own consciousness. And when it came to men, because up until now, I found this kind of brotherly, sisterly kind of love with my fiance. It was a safe space. Like, he was really more like my brother. And that was nice, but I was looking for something else. And again, I fell for this predatory, like, highly predatory, sexual kind of guy. So what I mean by predatory is really like the savage, like a lion, like a eagle, you know, like they know what they want. They can smell if the prey is ready, if someone is weak, yeah, psychologically, emotionally weak, and they will attack you for only the savage, like only for the bodily pleasure. They don't care about your heart. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about your mental. They only care about getting you in bed. Like, that's their kick. They are conquerors. They want to conquer you, especially if you are like a beautiful woman, or even if you are this nice girl, because men also, even though it is important to be savage as a woman, and I will talk about more about that, men are still attractive to the cute looking girls, like the cute looking girls. And I would say that with all humbleness, that I'm a cute girl, that I'm a cute woman. I have the cute face, and I'm a good girl. Like, I literally am. And so I think that makes me a very, very attractive target for predators. Like, I'm cute and all that, but still I was a little weak. There was a leak. There was a leak inside my protection field. And that's what happened. So I fell back into falling for the predators, maybe also because I had given up or something like that. Then I actually started doing some healing work around my womb, and I got into, like, my womb got deeply activated around that time. And what happened was, I was afraid. I was looking for a man. I was also looking for a man to provide and protect for me, but because I didn't set the boundaries and I still didn't know the things, the qualities, the values that I was looking for, even though I was so immersed in that, finding that out for myself, I didn't apply it to the men. Yeah, so I fell for this guy. He was like super predatory. Then I also attracted another guy, like who's actually a famous person in Germany, and like he was a multimillionaire or something like that. And like even he took advantage of me. I felt so used. Oh my God! Like look here, hear my story. But I will have to say that I do have to put that out, because again, as I said, like the men kind of looked high value, but I didn't know my standard. I didn't know, even though, like from this outside perspective, dating this multimillionaire, that was like, okay, so now you're looking for a high value man, so-called, you know, high value man doesn't mean the money. It doesn't mean the money. It is the values that he has. And the thing, and I take 100% full responsibility for my own actions and choices. But at the same time, I also hold these men accountable, because, yeah, just because you can doesn't mean that you have to, you know. And if you yourself, and I believe that that's what makes a healed man, just because you can, and maybe you even see the vulnerability of a woman. If you know, like if you just know a little bit about psychology and just human beings, you know, if you just know a little bit about human beings, you know that a woman is looking for love. Yeah, but I think even today, men don't really know. It can happen that men don't really know, because people are so hurt. People are so traumatized. And then we live in a culture that reinforces predatory behavior. We live in a culture, especially again, coming back to the hip hop culture, to pop culture, to just pop culture. We see that, yeah, everybody's just doing what they want. You know, women are being naked. Women are saying like, I get to have whatever I want. Girls need love too. Like you can have sex without attachment and all of that, which I don't agree with. Like I just told you my whole story. And at this point of my life, I really am fully, fully co-signing the whole Christian thing, or in basically every religion. And this little girl inside of me wished, and always believed in that, like to not have sex before marriage, because you want, as a woman, you want to be fully loved and taken care of, not only sexually. So for everyone who's still a virgin, keep that. Keep that. Keep it up. You're not missing anything. And you can, in the meanwhile, use your sexual energy for yourself. Yeah, just get activated, get creative, get turned on by life. Like today, like I also do like embodiment sessions and sexual activations, things like that. It's important to be connected to our life force. It's important to be connected to our sexual energy, but don't give it away to men. So, yeah, I wanted to share that story really to share with you what can happen. You know, like I believe that I am perceived in public's eye, if you so want, as a good girl, like as a good virtuous woman. And I am. And at the same time, I have this darkness. I have had this shadow side of me, starting from like an abusive relationship to my abortion, to then falling for men with not good intentions, even though like, yeah, even though they had money and looking good on the outside, it broke my heart. It broke my soul. And I really had to stay abstinent for more than a year. Not even that. Yeah. More than a year. To come to my senses and to realize that What is it all about? Like, and really get into studying more about relationships and in relationships with men and being clear about what it is that I want. Yeah. And I want to share a little bit with you, just depending on where you are on your journey, basing everything on your values. Yeah. And your values is very important that you have done your inner work, that you know what you want, that you know what you want, that who you are, what you want, and what you want in a guy beside him looking sexy, beside him being like the visual archetype of a provider and a protector, but actually not spending any money on you and actually not giving a shit about your well-being. So it's very important that you know your values and that you find out his values. And this can only happen through real ass conversation, like real ass conversation. And if the man is not willing to talk with you and be open about what he wants, then he's not for you. Yeah. Some women say, yeah, you're going to scare away men if you let him know like upfront what you want. Yeah, that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of it, to scare away men that don't fit the job description. So if you want to marry, say you want to marry. If you want to be like a wife and have kids, say that, you know? And then if a man doesn't want that, you can let the, like he can choose, and then he can decide if he wants to continue to get to know you or not. But it's you being vulnerable. It's you being vulnerable. It's you finding out who you are, what you want, what your life design is, what you desire, and lead with that, leading with vulnerability. So I hope you can see like how I transformed from almost 20 years. Like it's crazy, right? So as I said, not fully, but almost 20 years since I started my sexual journey, like since I've been sexually active. I'm 34 now, and I started, like, yeah, I had my virginity. I gave my virginity away when I was 16. So yeah, 18 years now. And it took me 18 years to find to figure that out. 18 precious, precious years. 18 precious years. So I want you to, wherever you are, I want you to preserve yourself, not only because of, how do I say, depending on what your background is. Yeah. Like as I said, I have always been studying God and wanting to know more. But at the same time, I didn't fully understand. And nobody sat down with me. Nobody sat down with me and told me, you are precious. Like, you are so precious. Don't give away your virginity. Like, don't give it away to men who don't care about you. Nobody told me that. Yeah, nobody told me that. And also, like, the spiritual and the mental and the physical and the psychological effects that has had on me. And I can definitely tell you, like, me falling into that very deep hole after breaking up my engagement, that was the lowest point I ever got with my self-worth. Like, it all went all the way downhill. And my self-worth, I had to reclaim my self-worth in the time of being abstinent, celibate. Because what happened during that time, it was also a blessing by God. I really see the synchronicity here. I found a job, and I was surrounded by 90% of men. So I worked in sales, and it was very high intensity sales. And it was like really activated men, like hungry men, like real savage predator men like that, which is very good and necessary in that job. But I realized how Yeah, how savage men really are in the every day, seeing them. And I realized how they were and how basic kind of they were and how they looked at women and how they talked to women. And then just me realizing that, or like have people told me then that, yeah, she slept with him and they slept together. And there was this one girl, she was even married. She had an affair with someone in the company. And then a few guys tried to approach me. And like, as naive as I was, but also more aware that of course, I can't talk to men. I can't talk to men, but I don't plan on, especially not at work, trying to sleep with anyone here. Like I definitely had that boundary straight. Like I didn't plan to get on a low level. Then there was this one guy, he always tried to invite me over to his place. And I was like, no. Like already at that point, I had already decided to put up that boundary and that standard that I would go to nobody's house and nobody would come to my house. Yeah, if you want to date me, you date me in public at an open space where it's neutral. Yeah. So I could experience firsthand what men and how they would approach women. And they would first probe. They would probe you. They would probe if you're available to that kind of nonsense. Men will do that. They will probe. They will test you. But if you have your standards, you don't really have to communicate it like that. You don't have to say and walking around like, I'm not that kind of girl. You don't have to say that. You just stay in silence and you just move and you do your thing. And if somebody tries to approach you like that, you say, yeah, no, that's not what I do. Boom, finished. And this is the evolution of me. Oh God. Oh God. So this is the evolution of me. Especially in like the most vulnerable part of my story. Like I can tell you so much more about my successes. I can tell you about my creativity. I can tell you about my beauty. I can tell you about my academic success. I can tell you about my entrepreneurial success. Like all of those things, that is cool. And as I said, I believe it's e not even that hard if you just follow the formula, if you just follow the procedure, everyone can kind of become more, confident and become a go-getter if you get your shit together. Yeah, I would say I've always been quite disciplined. This is a result of also me loving God and God loving me for the longest time. I've had a long-lasting relationship with God for a long time. Like even me like being very tidy in my house, like very clean and very neat and everything in order. This has always kind of been part of my spiritual practice. Like you can ask everybody that has known me for a long time that's part of me. And also like working out and taking care of my body and then becoming a nutritionist and all of those things. Like I would say I have a very disciplined kind of approach to life, but that's what I want to say. Be disciplined, especially in your weaknesses. And I've never realized that up until recently, really recent, very recent, that I had this very a disciplined approach to life. But we have to, like, if something is easy for us, that's not the accomplishment really. But to be disciplined with your weaknesses, that's what it comes down to. So some people are like emotional eaters, right? But maybe that's the thing. There's some people are emotional eaters and they eat, and to numb their feelings. I don't do that because I want to look sexy and I have cultivated a certain level of discipline there. But what I didn't do, I want love. That's the same thing with emotional eaters. Emotional eaters also want love. They want love that they didn't get and they don't know how to give it to themselves, so they eat. That's emotional eating. We want love, right? So, and I want love. I wanted love from men. I want love. Like, that's still what I want. I want to have my divine partner. I want to have somebody that I can reflect myself in. Like, I want to like see him as like my masculine counterpart, right? My soulmate, if you so will, like the one who is, yeah, my divine masculine, just like that. I want that. I was seeking love. I am a lover. I want that. But I didn't make the right choices because I didn't know what to look for. In nutrition, I learned what to look for. I learned to look for the more natural foods and to eat a certain kind of diet because I loved myself. And that's also another appel to all of us. Like, when we say, we talk about self-care, we talk about nutrition and all of that. Yeah, maybe you got that down. But for me, and I don't, it's so funny for me to even say that, but my weakness were men. Oh my goodness. My weakness were men. My weakness. I wouldn't say that I have too many weaknesses, but my weakness was love. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for love in all the wrong places because I didn't have a formula on how to vet a man. Yeah. And on how to assess his true value in my eyes, because probably because I didn't see the value within myself, because I want a man who matches my values, yeah, who sees the things that I see as valuable. Yeah, for example, my values are peace, literally peace, peace of mind, peace of space. Like, I want peace. I want no drama. I want to be calm. I want to be quiet. Yeah. And I want freedom. I want freedom of expression. I want freedom of doing. I want to be free. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to like know God more, seek wisdom, seek knowledge, seek understanding, like have all that. I want a peaceful life so I can just read all day and then create this content and speak to you and give you peace. I want marriage. Like, that's my value. I want marriage. I want love. I want divine union. I want a healthy relationship. I want kinder. I want to procreate. I want to continue life and create more life as a natural woman. Yeah. And I want fun. You know, I want fun and ease and a joyful, beautiful life. That's what I want. These are my values. And I want that. I want that in a man. It's really about simplicity. And again, I can only kind of, yeah, reflect on myself that what I was seeking for were the more shallow things, not so the inner things, because I didn't see my inner value. I couldn't see the man's value because, like, and I don't know, but I'm going to say it because I believe that me personally, I am quite attractive, I would say. So I had the option, so-called, to go for the egotistical things. I had the option of picking men that looked good. As we today say, like, even though I don't really partake in that, but looking good for the gram, you know, like, I don't care about that. But, you know, to get this image, like, I chose a man, not necessarily to show him off, but to show him off to myself, to my ego, being like, being masculine. Like, this is so masculine. When a woman is hurt and doesn't come from the inner values, she will behave like a predatory man. And that's definitely me. As I said, I am a gangster. I have that in me as well. I also realize that I have this predatory behavior within myself as well. Those men didn't only use me, but I kind of used them as well for my ego gratification, for my ego validation. Like, how much of a successful man can I check in? Even though I had no benefit from it beyond the sex. Oh my goodness, that's so lame. Like, that's so lame. That's so wicked. That's so pitiful. Like, I'm ashamed. And I can't say that, but yeah, we live and we learn. So please, if you didn't get into that mess already, don't do it. So yeah, so be disciplined, especially with your weaknesses. Oh God. Yes, and men are my weaknesses. And yeah, men really are weaknesses because all of those things, as I just said, emotional eating or drugs, yeah, or porn or sex with men that are not your husband, this is like drugs, right? This is like a drug. It's a shallow, superficial fix for a deeper soul level problem. If you want to know more about what I talk about, go out and check my YouTube videos. There was one episode that I talked about how addictions are holes in the soul. Yes, so check that out. So that's what I want to say is that if we're not whole from within, we will always seek outside gratification. Yeah. So whether it be the food that we eat, whether it be the things that we watch or the things that we do, like watching porn. I think I don't know, but I think porn is not such a big thing for women. But I know like women also masturbating too much, men masturbating too much, or then actually finding a guy and then sleeping with him just for validation, just to numb the pain, or yeah, actually, like really put a quick fix to this bleeding wound. And being the whole point here is to heal into being able to voice the needs of your heart and your soul. And today I can say that I am healed, like not only on a physical level, but mentally, emotionally, physical, and that I can voice my needs. I allow myself the space to be vulnerable with myself, yeah, which has been like my deepest work. And this is what the space that I offer you and everybody who wants to heal in my coaching programs and actually starting to cultivate the field of love within yourself, becoming crystal clear and creating this healthy, safe space within yourself. And also in my containers for you to realize what it is that you really want. Because as I can say, and also from my story, I didn't have that safe space to cultivate my inner world, my feelings, knowing my desires, listening to my intuition, listening to my heart, listening to my soul. I didn't have that when I was younger. So I went out into this world without even really being connected to myself. Let alone having words for it, let alone having the courage to communicate my vulnerability with some adolescent boys. Yeah. And that's the part, that's the healing part. So, yeah, that's my story. Like, that's my deepest wound, my rejection, my abandonment, and my constant seeking for love and validation in all the right wrong places, especially with men, very predatory men who took advantage of me. And yeah, and today I know better. It's us. We have to protect ourselves and we have to become savage. Yes. So that's the whole thing about, yeah, becoming a dark feminine and things like that. What it really just means is that you yourself can protect yourself. That's basically what it is, just to put it in one word. But I will talk more about that so we can dive deeper into that. So that was my confession story. And as I said, I am ashamed of it. And I think there's goodness in shame. I'm ashamed and I'm sad for my younger self and I'm sad for my body. And at the same time, I'm happy that I healed and that I can now share this story without shame in terms of I'm not going to hide myself. I'm going to share this like loud and public so you don't have to do the same mistake. So, girls and ladies, don't sleep with men that are not your husband. So, we will talk more about that in a different episode. Establish your standards, know what your values are, and let a man prove himself to you. That's all I can say for now. So, until then, take good care of yourself, honey, and see you and hear you soon. If you want to let me know what's up, what you think, if this helped you, if you have feedback, write me at info@joannafatonji.com and I would love to hear from you. Until then, bye bye.